Blog Talk Radio.
516-418-5651.
Thank you.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Good afternoon, good evening. Actually, it's 9 o'clock. That tells you how crazy my day has been. I am your host, Mary Brotherton, if I can remember what time of day it is. I am here with Peter Rosenberger. He is also a syndicated radio program host. The name of his show is called Hope for the Caregiver, and his show is heard on over 200 stations. He's a little bit bigger than we are, Be Unique. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you all. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine. I realized just a few minutes ago that you're from Tennessee. What part of Tennessee are you from?
Well, we used to live in Tennessee. We just moved out to Southwest Montana.
Oh, wow. That's a big drive.
We lived in Nashville for 35 years. We were in Nashville. And then this past year, last summer, we moved out here to Montana.
Okay. God's country.
Quite a change.
Yes, I'm
indeed.
Sure it is.
And we left the traffic of Tennessee, and we're in a place now that doesn't even have a traffic light in the entire county.
My nephew lives out in Alaska, and there's not – I think there may be a yield sign – in his little town, but he says there are no stoplights, no traffic lights. I have a friend, a dear friend, who's one of our volunteer writers who lives in Niota, Tennessee. And until she moved there, I had never heard of that. So apparently a small little town.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that. And I lived there for a long time, so I don't even know where that is. But we're in a little town in Southwest Montana, and we love it. We got about a foot of snow on the ground. It's a nice, beautiful, cold night. And they call it Big Sky for a reason, and we can see all the stars.
Yeah. I am barefoot in shorts and short sleeve shirt in Florida. It is a Chamber of Commerce day. It has been all day long.
Chamber of Commerce day out here, but our chamber is a little different.
Yes, and there's nothing wrong with that. Great. That's why God made the country so different. We have such a diversity.
Well, we were out feeding the horses this morning with the snowmobiles, so a little different
Amazing.
World, but we like it.
You guys own how many horses?
Well, they're not mine. They're my brother-in-law's, and he's got six of them, and I just we get to hang out with them.
And, very cool. Nothing wrong with that.
I feed them in the winter months. Yep.
So I understand that you have written several books, I believe. I know you've written 7 caregiver landmines. Have you written anything else? Hello?
I have. I've written...
Okay.
Nope, I'm here. I've written Hope for the Caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the flagship book of that's what my show is called, the podcast is called, everything else is called Hope for the Caregiver. And then I also served as the writer for Gracie's book. It's called Gracie Standing with Hope. And so we've had a good time. If I'd known I was going to be a published author, I probably would have paid more attention in class, in English class, but, you know.
I think we all said that. Speaking of Standing Up for Hope, that's also the name of her nonprofit or her ministry, right?
Right. Standing with Hope, standingwithhope.com. And it was what she envisioned after having her legs amputated. She wanted to be able to help fellow amputees with quality prosthetic limbs, and this is an evangelical outreach that we do, and we provide quality prosthetic limbs to her fellow amputees over in the Republic of Ghana, even though we have patients that come from a lot further away. And it's an amazing program. We recycle prosthetic limbs. They come to a local prison. Actually, it was in Tennessee. Prisons, and there used to be a local prison when we lived there, but it was in Tennessee. And inmates volunteer to disassemble the limbs for us so we can recycle all the usable parts, feet,
wow,
knees, pylons, screws, adapters, connectors, all that kind of stuff. And then we purchase other parts that cannot be recycled, so we have to purchase those things, ship it all over to Ghana, and then we take teams over there. We're going over there this summer and for another trip, and that's what we do.
Now, Ghana is in West Africa, right?
West Africa, Sub-Sahara West Africa.
Okay. And I know
we have two program areas with Standing with Hope. One of them is for the wounded, which is for Gracie's fellow amputees, and the other is for those who care for the wounded, which is our caregiver outreach, which is what brings me to your show today.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us what happened with Gracie that she had to lose her legs?
Well, she had a terrible car wreck 37 years ago this year. She was a freshman in college in Nashville studying music. Gracie's a really, really strong singer. And,
I've heard her voice.
She had the world by the tail. She was going places, and a lot of record people were looking at her and all kinds of stuff, and then she had this terrible wreck. And she's gone on to achieve extraordinary things, but it's come at a much different path and certainly a much more painful path than she ever envisioned. To date that we can count, she's had 80 surgeries and about another 150 smaller procedures. And the numbers are just too vast to keep up with all the stuff that's happened. 100 doctors have treated her in 12 different hospitals and 7 different insurance companies. And she's well over $11 million now that I can count. It's just, it's really kind of hard to keep track of it.
She's like the bionic woman.
Yeah, she is. And
she may not be able to run quite that fast.
Attitude. And she has an extraordinary outlook on life and everything else, but she lives with significant pain and challenges relentlessly. That's one of the reasons we moved out west, is to get her away from the humidity and that climate there to help offset some of her pain and in the low humidity and cool, dry air of Montana.
Has it helped?
It does. She
good,
has,
good.
She has a few mechanical problems right now with her prosthesis. We're getting those worked on, and it's kind of set her back a little bit, but it does help significantly. The whole environment out here is just, it's pretty good for the soul.
That's good to hear. You can't go wrong with that. Now, Gracie's prosthetics are the sci-fi looking things, right? Like the Olympic runners.
She's got several pairs. And that she has, and she's got some in case she has to use a backup pair, and she's had all kinds of different stuff. Gracie learned how to snow ski as a double amputee, and but she's got some pretty amazing legs, and they really help compensate for all the injuries to her back. Her problem is not prosthetics, other than what we're having right now. It's just a fitting issue, which we're working that out. But, you know, amputation, we were able to address those needs with good quality prosthetics. But her problem is that her back and everything else is so trashed, and her hips from all these other injuries. So arthritis is not her friend. And
that's rough.
And that's just part of the journey. And it's never really stabilized with Gracie. There's always something going on with her. It's there's not a place where we've said, okay, well, we're good now. This is the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives. No, it doesn't work that way with her. There's always something, pretty much on a, excuse me, on a daily basis. But, you know, there's a reason I'm qualified to do a show for caregivers.
Exactly, because you've been her caregiver for more than 30 years, right?
I'm in my 34th year.
Wow. And
so
I was a caregiver.
It's really helped
for,
illuminate.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was a caregiver for my aging mother for less than 3 years. And I know what a strain it can take on a person. So you've got to be one strong emotional man to do this all this time.
I have my moments. And I'm also the wily coyote of caregivers. And if you can fail at it,
mean?
I failed at it.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, you ever used to watch the Wile E. Coyote chase the Roadrunner on the cartoons? You know,
absolutely,
that's pretty
I
much
did.
Me, you know.
Okay.
And I've got an Acme Dynamite kit that I use, you know, pretty much that blows up my face. But, you know, I've learned through, for the most part, failure and hard lessons, you know. And this is why I do the show. This is why I wrote the books. And friends came to me some years back, and they said, you know, you've been a caregiver for a long time. I really didn't even kind of identify that way. I was, you know, just my life. And
you just
they said,
did what
there
you
are a
did.
Lot of people out there that are, yeah, there are a lot of people out there struggling with this issue, and you have a great deal of insight on the journey. You've survived what few people could. And less people would. And so what have you learned through it? And so I started thinking about, you know, what would I say to a caregiver? What do I, what's the real issue? And I started delving into this, and that's where all this has come from.
So if you could give one bit of advice to a brand new caregiver, somebody says, oh my gosh, I have to become a caregiver now. Where do I start? What would you tell them if you couldn't tell them but one piece of advice?
Healthy caregivers make better caregivers, period. That's my entire message right there. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. So caregivers are notoriously doing things that are not healthy for them, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially,
uh-huh.
professionally, morally, and healthy caregivers make better caregivers, and it is not only okay, it is imperative for us to do what is necessary for us to be healthy.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's a mindset thing, because like you mentioned, you didn't think of yourself as a caregiver. You just lived your life with Gracie the way it was. And until somebody put that label on you, oh, I'm a caregiver. Okay, fine. I'll deal with that. What I had a hard time, even though my mother was older. I mean, she was in her 80s when I moved in with her. And my husband, thank God, was a smart enough man to realize that that was what we needed to do. But it hurt me to think my mother needs a caregiver, because my mother's always been the strong one. So I had to change my mindset. And I called myself a Hank, because I'm all about acronyms. I like my acronyms. And to me, I was not her caregiver. I was her housekeeper, her activities director, her nutritionist, and her companion. But that's basically all a caregiver is. You know, they are there to take care of this person, but also provide companionship too. And
yeah,
I agree
that's
to take care of yourself.
Well, but it's a little bit more, you could unpack that for a lengthy bit of time. Caregivers knowingly, willingly, voluntarily put themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we do. And caregivers come in many different sizes and shapes. In your case, you're taking care of a mother. Well, I got a buddy of mine who's got a son who is 40 years old with Down syndrome, which is, you know, kids with Down syndrome are living longer now. They didn't used to live that long, but now they are. And he started, and he never thought of himself as a caregiver, but he has to think, beyond his own grave. And he has to plan for who's going to take care of his son when he's gone, because he's now 70 years old. And and his son is still going strong, and his son is very active, and he takes care of him. He dresses himself and takes care of himself and all that. But at the same time, he can't function in normal society on his own. And then I've got, you know, you got people with children with autism. You got people that are addicts and alcoholics. That's a chronic impairment. And so there are a lot of different types of scenarios, but there's always a caregiver. And you know, I look at the opioid crisis. We talk about the opioid crisis a lot in this country, but they never mentioned a caregiver. And, you know, at one point, it dawned on me that I had filled prescriptions of more than seven figures of opioids for Gracie.
Oh, my gosh.
And at no point did anybody, any pharmacist, nurse, doctor, surgeon, anybody, ever pull me aside and say, dude, we're putting a lot of behavior-altering drugs into your wife's body. You might want to get some help for you. And so I've expanded the concept of what a caregiver is. And, you know, even though my scenario doesn't necessarily play out with yours in the sense like with your mother, because of the longevity and the time logged and the severity of what I deal with, most people give me a fair shake to at least hear me out. Because I've understood the principles and the concepts and the precepts of what caregivers deal with. And we don't get into the minutia of caregiving on my show. So when callers call in, the first thing I ask them is, how are you feeling? And sometimes it takes that caller three or four times to be able to answer the question directly because they're so used to giving off their loved one's chart. And I always redirect them back to, how are you feeling?
And I think caregivers don't often think in terms of themselves. You know, it's
they don't.
They focus outward because if they think too much about themselves, they feel selfish, and they don't realize the importance of a weekend or an hour away or even 5 minutes to yourself.
It's more than that. It's caregivers suffer from what I call the three I's. And I want to be sensitive to your breaks. When do you go to breaks?
Oh, whenever I want to.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Oh, and by
fine.
The way, there's quite a bit of background noise with you, so it's hard to hear you a little bit. So if I talk over you, that's what's going on. I just hear a lot of background noise. So I'm sorry about that.
I apologize because shouldn't be any noise.
Never mind. We'll deal with all that later. But it's caregivers struggle with what I call the three I's. We lose our independence, we become isolated, and we lose our identity.
Makes sense.
So that identity loss is where the challenge comes for a lot of caregivers because they lose themselves in someone else's story. It's someone else's health and happiness and joy and excitement at the caregiver's expense. And that's the mentality that is reinforced. We got to make things special for mama. This might be her last Christmas. We got to make special, you know, this guy, you know, bless her heart, they're in a wheelchair, so we got to make it special for them. But at the same, but in reality, again, I go back to what's my overarching premise. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers, period. And so if it's healthy for me to do it, then that's the path I need to go. If this is an unhealthy thing where I am losing myself in someone else's thing, or I'm becoming bitter or resentful or things such as that, those are things that we've got to pull ourselves away from, and we've got to help each other do it. I don't think it is my experience, and my experience is pretty vast, that caregivers don't need a lot of instruction, but we need an awful lot of reminders.
Absolutely. I think that is the key, is the reminders. I do want to remind our listeners that if they have a question for you, they can call in at 516-418-5651. not the number that I gave Peter to begin with, but the number is 516-418-5651. I do want to take a quick break, and when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about your work with Jeff Foxworthy. I know that you did an project with him.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And welcome back. This is Mary, your host. I am talking with Peter Rosenberger. He is the host of Hope for the Caregiver, a syndicated radio show heard on more than 200 stations. And for 34 years, he's been caring for his wife, Gracie, who lives with severe disabilities. We've been talking about how Peter reminds people that healthy caregivers are better caregivers. And I wanted to come back and talk about the comedy skit that you did with Jeff Foxworthy. How did that come about?
Well,
you might be a caregiver
Jeff and I have been friends for about 20 years, and I called him up, and AARP was doing an interview with me, and they said a lot of people don't identify as a caregiver. And how do you help somebody know if they're a caregiver? And for whatever reason, that just struck me as very funny. And I thought, well, you know, and I started imitating Jeff, and I said, if you have a professional carpet cleaner on retainer, you're probably a caregiver. And I just being silly, well, they thought that was funny. They said, you and Jeff ought to do something like this. And so I called him up, and I asked him, I said, would you do this with me? He said, sure, write out some jokes. And I said, these aren't jokes. This is my life. So we wrote out a bunch of stuff. And we did this thing, you know, if you've ever hooked up your dog to your wife's wheelchair just to see if it would work, you know, if a hospital bed has never hampered your love life, if while at the doctor, I mean, while at the grocery store, you're the one asking for a price check on suppositories, you know, if you get more than 6 Christmas cards from a doctor every year, you know, there's a whole bunch of them we did, and they're just funny. It was just meant to just show the lighter side of this. And,
exactly. Because there are amusing points. Caregiving is, like you said earlier, it's your life. It's not what you do. It's not who you are. It's just the way your life has unfolded. And if you can't find the humor in it, then what good is it?
Well, a sense of humor is incredibly helpful to caregivers. And it takes a long time to be able to be comfortable in that. You don't just start off, you know, just having a good sense of humor with it. It you have to kind of grow into it, because sometimes it's the shock and the tragedy of it all.
Exactly.
But Gracie has a great sense of humor, and we've learned to laugh, because look, we're in this now 3 decades. We're in our 4th decade of this. I mean, you just can't be morose and take yourself all that seriously through, you know, 4 decades. I mean,
that's what the doctors are for, right?
Pardon me?
I said that's what the doctors are for. Let them be serious.
Well, yeah, and even then, I've got a lot of doctors that aren't all that serious. And you can't just be freaking out with every little thing. There's too many things that are going on. This is our life. This is not something Gracie and I get through and then get on with our life. This is our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be for the rest of our lives. And so and I don't take myself that seriously. And Gracie doesn't take herself that seriously. That we take our message very seriously. We take our experience very seriously. But you know, if you start believing your own press, or you start just thinking you're the center of the known universe and that kind of stuff, and that gets into very unhealthy mental behaviors and some psychosis with people. I mean, people are just nuts anyway. you know, look at what's going on with our country. And part of that is you got just people that just have too much time on their hands, and they take themselves so seriously, and everybody's been giving them participation trophies in life, and they never really had to get out there and just scrap with life. Life is hard, and you've got to deal with this a little bit differently. Otherwise, you're going to make yourself and people around you very uncomfortable, and it's just a toxic environment.
And nobody needs that. Nobody needs that kind of poison in their life.
Well, develop a sense of humor, and you know, after Gracie's 80th surgery, they had to fix a nerve, move a nerve on her right elbow that had gotten pinched, and it was causing her right hand to atrophy a little bit, and it was a real, you know, it was uncomfortable for her. So they went in. This is surgery number 80, and the doctor went in and did this, and afterwards, I'm helping her get dressed, and she's wearing an easy to put on dress. She's got her arm in a sling. And she's got her two robotic-looking legs sticking out from beneath the hem of her dress. Now, Grace, mm-hmm. an exceptionally beautiful woman. I mean,
I will agree that
she's been through what she's. She really is a hottie. And
yep. We have pictures of Gracie on our website, and she is adorable.
She really is. And so we're sitting there in a wheelchair, and I'm wheeling out at Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. We get on this big elevator. I mean, it's a big elevator. A lot of people in there. And there she is with her robot legs and her arm in a sling. She's kind of tired. She's a little bit still groggy from the surgery. And all these people are in there just staring at her. And they weren't even being coy about it. They're just staring. And finally, I just kind of had enough. And I looked at all of them and I said real loudly, "Worst hysterectomy ever." And Gracie just rolled her eyes. Well, they all started looking at their shoes because they knew that they'd kind of been found out. And as I wheeled her out, when the door opened, I wheeled her out and I shot over my shoulder. She put up a fight, God love her. And, you know, and she laughed all the way to the car. You know, if you can laugh after your 80th surgery, then you're living life a little bit better than most. In a sense, because you're seeing beauty and joy without having to have everything all in order around you. You know, if your happiness is contingent on everything just coming up roses around you, you're a miserable person at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to learn to say that you can be as happy or as miserable as you choose to be. And
absolutely.
Yes, there are serious things that Gracie and I have cried many tears. We have struggled, we have fought, we have cussed and fussed and everything else. But at some point, you just have to say, okay, this is life, and I can't keep hoping that over this next hill, things are going to be better, then we can just start being happy. We can be happy right here, right now.
Yes, you can.
We can be at peace right here and right now. There's an old hymn that I love, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You know,
yeah.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. You know, that the guy that wrote that hymn wrote that lyric while standing on the deck of the ship over the watery grave of his daughters.
Oh, man.
Where a ship had sunk with his daughters on it. And he wrote that hymn. And so what did he know that I need to know? What did he settle up in his soul that I need to know? And these are important questions that we need to ask ourselves. We look at people that are able to function and be calmer in the midst of the storm. You look through, I tell people, I said, you look through Scripture, you see that, you know, Elijah was being chased by Jezebel to kill him. Daniel fell asleep, but he took a nap and fell asleep. Daniel fell asleep in the lion's den. Jesus fell asleep in the boat in the middle of a storm. There's a precedent for falling asleep in the middle of craziness. It's okay.
Yes.
Take a nap. Relax. It's going to be okay.
And taking a nap is really good advice for almost anything, because when you wake up, whatever the crisis was may still be there, but your emotional state has changed. God has come in and given you a different attitude toward as long as you're not taking a nap while the house is burning down around you. Now, that might not be a good idea. But other than that, and that's kind of been my philosophy in life, take a nap, and, you know, when I get up, everything's going to be okay.
Calm down. Just calm down. Breathe. Just breathe.
I will tell you.
I think that's
what the reason that I wanted you on my show was not because you've done a stand-up comedy skit with Jeff Foxworthy. It's not because you've been a caregiver for 34 years. It's not because you've got a radio show of your own and that you're an author. It's because with everything you and Gracie are doing, you're looking outside of yourself. You created Standing Up for Hope. And as someone who runs a nonprofit organization, I know what that's like. That's not easy work. Running a nonprofit is not for sissies. And I just wanted to talk with you and get a sense of, you know, what actually... How long is Standing Up for Hope? Is it Standing Up for Hope or with Hope? Standing with Hope, right?
Standing with Hope.
Standing with Hope. I want to make sure I've got that right because I want to fix that on my website. How long has that organization been around?
2003 is when we launched it.
Okay.
And
possessed you and Gracie with all of these surgeries and all of this pain she's in? And I mean, you just said earlier, a caregiver, a healthy caregiver is a good caregiver. And now you're doing, you know, for all these years, you've been doing a nonprofit. Why on earth would you do something like that? What was the impetus?
Well, it was Gracie. It was all her. She had the vision for doing it. The week she lost her remaining leg, she lost one leg in 91. She lost the other one in 95 in the summer of 95, 25 years ago this summer. And she was watching a documentary after walking for the first time, on two prosthetic legs. And then that night she was back in her hospital bed and she was watching a documentary. She saw Princess Diana, helping amputees in developing countries out landmine victims. And she just kind of raised her hands to heaven. She said, God, this is what I want to do.
Wow.
And she felt like this is what she was supposed to do. And I came back that night and she said, I want to go do this. And I said, take another hit of morphine, because that's not on my list to do it. And that's nice, Gracie. Go to sleep. But she would not
be... Good night,
Gracie. She would not be denied on this. And she just kept pursuing and we did it. And the whole way over to Africa on our first trip, I said, I'm not doing this. And I'm on the plane. I just couldn't believe I was doing it. But, and this is something, because I think that's where you realize that, you're not the way you deal with, I have found the way you deal with the crap in your own life sometimes is best dealt by making inroads and positive differences in other people's lives. You start investing in other people, because otherwise, if your eyes are focused on yourself all the time, particularly when you're dealing with high drama situations like what we deal with, that's not a healthy place. You tend to kind of, you tend to think more of yourself in that sense than you ought. And I have been over there and I have held people that have had leprosy and just horribly tragic situations that there's no way that they would have any hope of this thing improving for them had we not shown up. And it's very humbling. It's incredibly humbling to see that and to see God using your own journey as a way of healing for others. And in the process, you get healed up, you get stronger. And I always get more out of going over there than I give. It's always much more meaningful because I come away a better person from it. Every time I go out and speak to a conference of caregivers dealing with stuff, I come away stronger. Every time I get on the air and do my show, I get stronger for doing this because I'm reinforcing these principles that are so much greater than me. And, I don't want to give people advice. I don't want to give people my opinion. I don't care about my opinion. My opinion sucks. I don't even like my own opinion. But my experience, however, does not suck. My experience
exactly.
is valuable. And I want to make sure that I show people, here's what I've learned. Here's what I've touched. Here's what I've witnessed. Here's what I've experienced that will help guide you through these very, very unpleasant places. And it gives me the boldness to ask better questions. And in the process, though, it brings clarity. Clarity is what it's all about here. Big picture. Do we see clearly what is going on, or are we lost in what I call the fog of caregivers, which is fear, obligation, and guilt? And if we get lost in that thing, we'll go right off a cliff and not even understand what's happening. But when we have clarity about where we are, where we're going, how we're going to live our life, what we're going to do, and we may not know we certainly don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we know where we are right now, and we're going to do the best we can right here, right now, and we're going to do the next right thing. That's it. And that's sometimes all we have, but that's a healthier way to live than to live out the wreckage of your future thinking, oh, my God, I know what's coming down the pipe. Mama's going to die, da-da-da-da. You know, we're all going to die. You know,
we
know how Gracie and I know how this is going to end. I mean, one of us is going to go. But the question is, are we going to be standing at a grave with our fists clenched and being resentful? Is that any kind of way to live? It takes a lot of energy to be resentful. And I'm going to swerve into politics for a minute, but just forgive me. But I'm watching all this stuff happen in Washington around the country, and you see how enraged people are.
Yes.
That takes an enormous amount of energy to be that pissed off. And look at the focus off of helping the country versus helping themselves and making themselves feel better about such and such. Whether you like Trump or not, whether you not like Nancy Pelosi or not, just look at the rage that's going on, and you ask yourself, how healthy is this for these individuals and for our country? It takes a lot of energy to be that hacked off. And forgiveness doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It just means I'm going to take my hands off of someone else's throat.
Yes.
You know? And let God deal with them, and let me live a calmer, healthier, and even more joyful life right where I am. You know?
And I'm sure you know that it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. And
it does.
These people that are clenching their jaws and their fists and you know, screaming in fury, if they would just take a nap instead. Going back to the nap.
I've watched a couple of things. I've watched, you know, these people get into fights and stuff. I watched these protesters clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court when Kavanaugh was being sworn in. I mean, going through that stuff, and I thought, man, these people have lost their freaking minds.
Absolutely.
You know, there's who has time for this? And I'm watching Nancy Pelosi sitting behind Trump, and her jaw's just. I thought, man, that is exhausting to be that angry.
She's hurting
the country.
Yeah,
she's hurting
too.
Herself, and then because of her position, the country. And I'm not here to praise Trump and bash this. I'm just simply look at it for what it's like, and then translate that to being a caregiver when you got somebody who has something that you don't like. And I think we fight the wrong enemy. I did on my show the other day, and I put this out on the podcast. You know, we have chosen to pick a battle with the wrong enemy. You know, we're so busy thinking that this person is our enemy. If we can get them to stop doing this and this and this, then we're going to be happy. But Commodore Perry said back in the War of 1812, we have met the enemy and he is ours. In other words, they found the enemy and we got this guy whooped. Well, in our case as caregivers, we have met the enemy and he is us. We are our own enemy. My battle is not with amputation. Or if your listener has, if you got a listener right now that's taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's is not your enemy. Autism is not your enemy. Addiction is not your enemy. I can't fight chronic pain, Gracie's chronic pain. I can't fight that. But I can fight being a jerk. I can fight cholesterol. I can fight high blood pressure. If we caregivers can redirect our eyes to see, okay, what is actually within our scope to tackle, to deal with, to fight, to wrestle with, and you're going to find, if you'll be honest with yourself, you're going to find that in reality, the only thing you can fight with is your own character issues, you know, and you can try to go to war with Alzheimer's, but you're going to lose. And your mother with Alzheimer's or your father with Alzheimer's, they're not the enemy. There's the disease that has taken over them. There's an impairment that has taken over them. Your family and friends, excuse me, that don't want to help like they should or like you'd want them to, they're still not your enemy. It takes a lot of energy to be pissed off at people that don't help you. And so you realize, okay, that's where they are. I could set boundaries for them, but I don't have to be resentful. You can't push a wheelchair with clenched fist.
No, and, you and have I'm to open your hands.
I'm a pianist. And when I play the piano, I cannot do it with clenched fist. I have to open up my hands before beautiful music comes out. You know, that's just the way it is. We've got to let go of certain things. And realize that, you know, I don't have any control over anything but my own thoughts, my own words, and my own deeds. I can't control anything else. And if we can just grab a hold of that concept, we're never going to get it right 100% of the time, but we can make progress at it. And if we can just grab a hold of that concept, it'll change your life, no matter what you're going through, whether it's, you know, being a caregiver, whether it's dealing with a divorce or whether it's dealing with family issues, whether it's dealing with toxic relationships at work, whether it's dealing with politics or whatever, if you could ever grab a hold of that concept, you realize that I only have responsibility over my thoughts, words, and my deeds. I'm not responsible for what other people do. I'm not responsible for what other people tweet. You know, I'm just not responsible for that.
And why so get upset?
That's a better way to live.
Absolutely. And if you can live with more positivity, it makes your job, if you want to call it a job, your life as a caregiver easier, because that negativity translates into, I think, resentment is the best word I can think of. And you don't want that. You want it to be a happy life. It has to be.
Well, it's more than just being a positive thinker. It starts with clarity. It starts with a clear understanding of what's going on. And you can't get that by yourself. You're going to have somebody help you see that. You're going to have somebody help you get above this and see a bigger picture of what's really going on. And you'll find more often than not that the problem is not your loved one, it's you. And I've had people help me with that. I've had people come alongside me and help me wrestle through these things. Well, then I have a responsibility to offer the same comfort, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, we comfort one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have received from the God of all comfort. People have been gracious to me. How can I not be gracious to others? You know, and I look at this thing of realizing, oh, okay, I have a responsibility then to be, you know, to take a stewardship, if you will, of what I've learned, and then offer it a way that makes sense to other people. Somebody said this, and I thought this was a very good teachable moment. And again, I don't read into the politics of it, but these public figures that are demonstrating their psychosis right out there in front of God and everybody make great teaching lessons for us. But they said about Hillary Clinton that she has an amazing grasp of 50 feet, amazing view of 50 feet. That's tunnel vision. She couldn't see the big picture. And like her husband used to tell her, hey, you need to go to Wisconsin. Well, she wouldn't go because she didn't see the big picture of what was going on. And I think this is the way we sometimes get. We get surrounded by people that tell us what we want to hear, or we cut out people that will speak truth to us. And we don't want to listen to them because we live in the bubble of our own approval. And the truth will set you free, but it's going to hack you off first. And sometimes it's we got to hear hard truth. And the hard truth is, you know what? I'm just not all that. I got some real issues. I've got problems. And Gracie's not my problem. Gracie is not my issue. There's something about caring for somebody with a disability for a couple of decades that will really expose the gunk that's in your own soul. And maybe that's a little bit of the problem we have in our society, that we've got so many people who are so focused on themselves and they're not dealing with some adult issues. They're not adulting. You know, and
exactly.
Being a caregiver is the ultimate journey of adulting, because you are having to constantly deal with somebody else who has significant needs, and you have to say no to yourself. And you say no to yourself, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take many times to say no to yourself before you realize how much you hate saying no to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to say yes to yourself. But saying yes to all of our indulgences is not healthy. And learning to love sacrificially is where it's at.
Indeed.
And, I've got a little bit of a cough. And so that's what I've learned with Gracie.
What you're saying all ties in together, because if our elected officials treated our country and their constituents as the people that they are providing care for, if they became caregivers instead of just politicians, I think everything would be so much better.
Well, yeah, but that requires a level of self-awareness and selflessness that they're not prepared to do. When
no,
you've
got
people that go to Washington who have never created their own business and they stick around there for several years and become multi-zillionaires, you got to ask, how is that possible? How is that possible?
That's a mind-boggler.
Well, Michael Bloomberg asked last night, he said, wait a minute. You know, he asked Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, he said, you've been a public official all your life and you have three homes and you're a multimillionaire. What did I miss here? How is that socialism? You know, these are hard questions, but you got to realize that there are people out there that are basically indulging in themselves. And because they don't have to take care of someone else. When you are in a position where you are knowingly and voluntarily putting yourself between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster, you will learn what it's like to be an adult. You will learn what it's like to love sacrificially. And right now, our country is chronically impaired. We're doing better. We got a lot of things, but we're still $22 trillion in debt. We still have undertones of racial divides and class envy and all these kinds of things. A lot of this is perpetuated by the people who make a living off of us being at each other's throats.
Yes.
But the point is that we're not a healthy place yet. We're getting there. We've made some progresses, but we're not healthy yet. So who's standing between the unhealthiness and even worse unhealthiness? Is it Washington? I would say not, because Washington is so dysfunctional and so unhealthy, they can't think straight. It's all about them. I've been to Washington. I was at the State of the Union a year and a half ago, and I've been to Washington many times, met presidents and so forth. I've done this, and Washington, D.C. is a great place to leave. And I think that you find that there's this incestuous embedding of I got to get what I got to make it about me. And one of the things that my fellow caregivers know, it's 65 million of us strong, we know that it can't always be about me. We're
going
to have to learn to say no to ourselves. And when we say no to ourselves, it hurts. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it, but that's how we grow. And we start saying yes to healthy things and no to the indulgences that we think we want to make us feel better. For example, one of the landmines I talk about in my book for caregivers is weight gain. Why? Because we're not saying no to unhealthy eating. And we reach for comfort food because we want to be comforted. But we reach for something that's unhealthy. Listen, Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts, they are my kryptonite.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, my Lord, they just jump at me when I go by one. That's why I'm so grateful I live out here in Montana. I am 60 miles away from a donut store.
And, especially when sign is on.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, when you drive by Krispy Kreme and the hot sign is on.
And I got to... And I'm not going to beat up on anybody for gaining weight. Well, I won't beat up on anybody for gaining weight as a caregiver. I got so big it took two dogs to bark at me. I mean, my picture fell off the wall. I got so big. I broke my family tree, you know. But that's the thing is we're not saying no to this burning desire to make us feel better. And if I leave if anybody with tonight, and I know I've kind of waxed on a little bit with it. But
I'm loving it.
Well, if I can leave any of your listeners with one thing tonight, the goal is not to feel better. The goal is to be better. I am never going to feel better about what has happened to my wife and what she lives with. She's certainly not going to feel better about it. But
no.
We can be better as we deal with it. But that doesn't come without work. Without saying no to indulgences, without learning to be adults in this and recognize that we can grow up. And maybe that's the message we have for our country tonight, that it's time for us to grow up. We don't have to indulge ourselves in everything. We don't have to pander to people so we can get elected to offices that we're not even qualified to hold. We need to understand it's time to grow up. There's a wave coming at people that they are – there's a storm coming that they are not prepared for. If you love somebody, you are going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you will need one. And this will come on you like it did with you. It will come on you, and it will absolutely kick you in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not – and what I'm trying to do is help as many people as possible see the path to safety. I cannot take it away from you. Any more than you can take it away from me. But what I can do is, based on my own experience, point you to safety. Go here. Here's the way to go. This is the path. Don't go down there. I've been down there. That's a bad place. Don't go down there. Here's the path to safety. Here's the path. That's what I say over and over and over on my show to help people get to safety so that they can catch their breath, take a knee if they have to, and develop better strategies to live a healthier, calmer, and even more joyful life. You've seen the pictures tonight. You're talking to me tonight. Gracie and I, we're not up here crying in our beer. We're not up here miserable. You know, we live with harsh realities. But every day is a day of beauty and joy. And I learned that from reading, you know, Viktor Frankl's book. And Eli Wiesel and Corrie ten Boom in the Holocaust, that they were able to somehow even see beauty there. In a concentration camp, you know, and I've watched that with Gracie. We've had some of the most beautiful moments as a couple in the hospital room. That's one of the jokes that I did with Jeff Foxworthy. If a hospital bed has never hampered your love life, you know, you're probably a caregiver, you know. And well, there's no use wasting a semi-private room. I mean, for heaven's sake.
That's right.
And so
semi-private is good enough.
Just pull that curtain too, and just, you know, put a pillow over it. So in the next room there, but it's we learn to laugh because we know. Well, this is not the end of the story. You know that we are not doomed to be miserable just because we have bad things happen to us. Bad things happen all the time. You know, and I stood there in a dusty clinic in West Africa, in a room full of amputees. And I mean a room full of amputees, a whole lot of them. And they were all singing that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Oh, wow.
These are people that live in poverty with severe disabilities, in poverty. And here's some crazy Americans show up, and we're going to help them get some legs. But they're all singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And some of them had to crawl into there. We're as happy or as miserable as we choose to be.
Absolutely. Happiness has to come from within. You can't get it from anybody else.
So
I want to
that's
know
my story.
I like your story, and what I want to do next, I want to put one of our writers in touch with you and Gracie, and I want to do a feature on Standing with Hope. Can we do that?
Well, that, you do whatever works for you. We're pretty easy to hit.
Oh, man. You just, no wonder Gracie keeps you around. You're just good for soul.
No,
you
no.
really are.
Listen, both of us have forged our marriage. You know, we don't go through things as a married couple that other people don't. We just go through stuff relentlessly. There's never this opportunity to kind of plateau out. We always have to deal with some kind of drama. But we have found, the most of the drama we deal with has nothing to do with her disability, but has everything to do with who we are as just human beings. We just get a chance to look at it relentlessly, whereas other people may be able to spread certain issues out over years or decades or even a lifetime. Gracie and I compress it all into like 1 week, and because that's what high drama does. When you have crises like this, and if there's cracks in the surface, it'll force it up to the it's an amplifier. That's what it is. So you can plug your guitar, you can play your guitar, but once you plug it in an amplifier, then you got some sound. Whatever you're playing is just going to be amplified even more. So if you've got some character issues, guess what? You take care of somebody with a disability, it will be amplified. And it was for me. I mean, I've had, like I said, I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you could fail at it, I failed at it on every level, financially, physically, professionally, morally. I've done it all. I've failed at everything, But I've also seen God's great redemption, and Gracie and I have forged a marriage through this thing, and marriage is hard enough. You throw in a severe disability, man, it gets pretty gnarly. But here's where we are, and here's what we're learning. And we get up, we dust ourselves off, we help each other dust off, we hold hands, and we keep moving.
Well, you and Gracie have a very strong faith. And
we do.
A good strong spiritual background, I think. And I would imagine that, and your both of you having a sense of humor through all of this helps, where a lot of people just take themselves too seriously, like we said earlier. But if you don't have any faith to fall back on, it makes it even harder.
Well, there's not many atheists in this kind of foxhole.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, I haven't met any. And you're welcome to try it if you want to be an atheist and try doing what we've done. But that's good luck with that. I can't even say good luck, because that implies something other than random chance. So knock yourself out. But I don't recommend it. And Gracie and I have found God's provision in this thing in ways that we just did not expect. And you're right. I've always had a good sense of humor, but it became a coping mechanism and a self-defense mechanism for many years. It took a long time before it just kind of started flowing naturally, and we were able to kind of start breathing. And we had to loosen up some of the air in our hearts to breathe a little bit better. And I always say this about my fellow caregivers who gain a lot of weight as caregivers: the biggest weight you got is around your heart. You deal with that first, and then you got a fighting chance at the other stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, just lighten up on yourself. And you said something earlier about, you might need to take a step back and take a knee. And I thought right off the bat, you need to take two knees. Get down on your knees and pray, pray your way through it. I want you, because we are at the end of our show, which seems almost impossible, I want you to make sure that everybody knows how to follow you, how to find your radio show, and where Gracie's, where people can donate to help with the prosthetic limb ministry in West Africa.
You go out to standingwithhope.com. Standingwithhope.com. It'll link to the radio show. It'll link to the books, the CDs, the music. It's all out there at standingwithhope.com. You read a little bit more of her story. And then my podcast, you link to that. We have the number one podcast for caregivers in the world. And
I can believe that.
So it's all out there. And it's I put the information out there. Please take advantage of it. Please. You know, I mean, I didn't have anything like this while I was slugging around for all those years. And I do the show for myself now. I listen to my own show. I read my own book.
Hey, that's good advice.
I have to. I got to hear from somebody with my level of experience, and I'm the only one that has this kind of experience and has my own show.
Yeah, and like you said, every caregiver needs to be reminded. I wish I had known you when I was a caregiver, but I struggled through it and got through it and survived. But I'm definitely going to have one of our writers reach out to you. I've got to figure out who's got availability. But I have really enjoyed this, Peter. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a delight to hang out with you, Bob. I appreciate it very much. You let me come on your show.
Thank you. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website.
Yeah, I am.
That's neke.org.